Would you turn this evening to Galatians chapter 6? Going to be in our One Anothering series this evening. If you keep your Bibles open, I want to read just three verses tonight and look at them. Paul says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." Wow. I don't have this in my notes, so I better go ahead and say it. Why is it that the folks most critical are the ones that assume they're the most spiritual? That's not what Paul says. He said that ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here's the message tonight, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Here's the one another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. If we go back to verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. This is perhaps one of the most well-known scriptures. You hear people quote this a lot. We're going to find out tonight it's also one of the most misunderstood passages. I want you to ask yourself right now before we even get into it, what did he really mean about bearing one another's burdens? What does that look like? What's he talking about? What kind of burdens? How do you do the bearing? We're going to look at that tonight. God bless you. You can be seated. I've never forgotten a story that I read years ago, but the ministry preacher had went to the mission field to visit the work of an older missionary. The missionary, I can't remember, 83, 84, 5, 6, but in his 80s. As they went out to look at the work, they on the terrain there, they came to a hill, and the people of that land, the nationals of the land, were busy about the day, and they were carrying loads of kindling and things to the market, but they had to go up the hill to get there. And the visiting minister said he was talking to the elderly missionary as they were climbing the hill, and he only half noticed the visitor because he was talking, but there was a lady struggling under a large load of firewood for the day. And just without breaking the conversation, the elderly missionary immediately broke away from the visitor and walked up as quickly as he could to that woman and took that load of wood off of her shoulders and put it on his own up in his 80s. And he struggled up the hill with it. And he gave it to the lady when he got to the top of the hill. And the visiting minister said, "You know, that was something you just did. Why did you do that?" And here it is, the words of the missionary. He said, "Nobody should have to carry a load like that by themselves. Nobody should have to carry a load like that by themselves." You know, if the truth is known, even amongst us in our church family, there are folks with unimaginable burdens. And it's not something you were able just to leave at home. You kind of carried it with you even tonight into the church. Heavy burdens. And it's not just that folks shouldn't have to carry a burden like that by themselves. The truth of the matter is they can't carry a burden like that by themselves. It's going to get to them. It's going to destroy them. They won't make it. And so I thought about this. You know, I say things to be helpful, and my kids always told me they weren't helpful. You know, like when they came, told me they had a headache, and I said, "Well, it's better to have a headache than to be one." And they'll look at me and say, "That wasn't helpful at all, Dad." But as I got to thinking about burdens, pretty much we can have three types of relationship with burden. First of all, we can be a burden. Some of you didn't hear me. So first of all, we can be a burden. Now, I don't think anyone wants that choice, right? Second of all, we can have a burden. Many of us do. And I don't really like that choice. But in relationship to burden, there's a third thing that our relationship can be. We can help somebody carry their burden. I believe that is my choice tonight. Amen? And so let's just talk about this tonight. What are the burdens we are to help each other bear? What are those? Before I explore what they are, let me tell you what the word picture here is. It's a picture of someone struggling under a heavy load, and any of you can see that. Their back bent over and their head bowed down and they're struggling. But it's a picture of when the load becomes so heavy, it causes that one to stumble, and not only to stumble, but to fall, and not just to fall, but to fall off the side of the road, down into the ditch or down into the ravine. That's the picture of the burden. So what are these burdens? Well, let me tell you what it's not. First of all, these burdens are not doing for others what they could and should do for themselves. That's not the burden. It's not doing for folks what they could or should do themselves. I don't know if anyone caught this, but there's an apparent contradiction in the verses that I just read. I don't know if anyone caught that, but let me show it to you. Look what it says in verse 2. Verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. But then in verse 5, is it? It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. How are we carrying someone else's burden when everyone's supposed to be taking care of their own burden? So it appears to be a contradiction. You could unravel the contradiction with just the context, but it's a whole lot quicker to do it by recognizing that while we're reading the same word, go back to verse 2 really quick. We're reading the same word in English, burden, and then in verse 5, burden. We're reading the same word in English. Paul actually used two different words in the Greek when he wrote this down. And I want to look at the last of those, the one from verse 5. So if you leave verse 5 there. When Paul says, for every man shall bear his own burden, he uses the word fortion. You see, fortion was a word that was used of the soldier's knapsack, we would say backpack, that he was to carry. It had his bedding, it had his eating utensils, it had his whatever armory that he had, his clothes. So Paul uses the word fortion. Let every man carry his own burden. That is the burden of your responsibility. That is a burden of what you are to take care of for yourself. But let's go into back to verse 2. The word for burden there is baros. And baros literally means a weight, and not just a weight, but it means a weight that takes somebody down. Two totally different words. So when Paul says everyone must bear their own burden, he said everyone must take care of their own responsibilities. But when he says bear ye one another's burden, he said help folks with that thing that is weighting them and taking them down. So the burden is not doing for others what they could or should do themselves. So, young people, you can't take your homework to your parents and say, the Bible says you're to help me bear my burden, and this algebra is a burden. So, Mom, Dad, bear my burden for me. No, it's your homework. It's your responsibility. Now, they can maybe help you a little bit, but they can't do it for you. I mean, we could go all day with this. I mean, it'd be an awful thing to be 12 years old and asking your mom to brush your teeth. That's your burden, right? And so the burden isn't doing for others what they could and should do for themselves. I want to tell you, there are things in serving God that nobody can do for you. That is your responsibility and burden. I wish it would help, but it doesn't. Let me tell you something. I cannot read your Bible for you. I cannot do your worshiping for you. I cannot serve God for you. That's your burden. That's your backpack. That's your knapsack. That's your responsibility. So the burden isn't to do what others could and should do themselves. But there's another little angle to this. When Paul said each should bear their own burden, after he just said, bear one another's burden, what he's trying to say, if you don't take care of your own spirituality, how are you going to help somebody else? If you don't fulfill your own walk with God, how are you going to help somebody else? And so bear your own burden, take care of your own spiritual responsibilities, and then you're in a position to help others. The second thing a burden's not primarily, it can be an extended application, but burden isn't just helping folks in a tough time with a special need. Now, I've got to talk about this because usually when we think of helping others with their burdens, we think of this, helping people in a tough time with special needs. Now, I want to caution you, the extended application does cover this, but that is not specifically what Paul is talking about when he's talking about bearing one another's burdens. It's the way we usually interpret it. People have special needs. Their car engine blew up. Their whole family gets sick, and so we take them soup. And I'm not saying don't do these things. I'm just saying specifically, that's not specifically what Paul was talking about. They lose their job, and we help out. On and on we could go. Somebody gets in trouble. Their water pump to their well quits working. And they don't have water, and we help them out. We get the well fixed. Or on and on we could go. Financial troubles, and we help out. An extended application, yes, but not specifically. There's all kinds of things that could happen there, and we think primarily of those being the burdens. This is not what Paul's talking about specifically. So what is he talking about specifically? If it's not helping people with what they could and should do themselves, if it's not helping with those tough times and special needs, though ultimately it will be, but not immediately, what's he talking about? Well, you have to go to verse 1 to understand that. Let's look at verse 1. Here's where Paul tells us what that burden is. This is so important. He said, "Brethren, if a man, a person, be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be." The burden that we're to help one another carry is the burden when they've messed up. It's the burden when they've sinned. It's the burden when they've made the wrong choices and just got themselves in an array in their spiritual life. It's helping someone who has actually stumbled into sin. They've gotten off the right path. They have fallen down. That's why he said they're overtaken in a fault. And they need to be restored in their relationship with God. Restored in their relationship with the church and the brothers and sisters. And restored into the right path and the right way. So now let's look at verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens." What's that talking about? Helping people. And remember, I told you the picture was it's such a weight that they not only stumble, but they fall off the side of the road. It's helping people get back on the path. Now listen, it's good to help people physically. And it's good to help people financially. And it's good to help people educationally. And it's good to help folks vocationally. But where we really need to help one another as a church is helping one another to make it spiritually. To make it spiritual. When somebody blows it, it's not time for a gossip fest. It's not time to criticize. It's time to restore such a one, considering ourselves. You know, if a man went swimming where he wasn't supposed to be swimming, jumped off in a quarry, and now he's drowning, what good does it do for somebody to stand on the bank and say, "You idiot, didn't you see the sign? No swimming." What kind of fool would jump into a place like this? And by the way, you're not swimming right. Your stroke is all wrong. What kind of swimmer are you anyway? What good does that do them? No amount of criticism, no amount of telling them what an idiot they've been. There's only one thing that's going to help them. Go in and get him. Or get help that can go in and get him. And so that's what Paul is talking about. You see, maybe it's someone that has betrayed a relationship. It's someone that got fired from the job for doing the wrong thing. It's someone that broke up with somebody and blew it. Now they want to be back with them. They've dated the wrong person. They've got drunk. They've sinned, and because of the sin, they're in depression and can't seem to get out of it. I mean, they've fallen into the ways of the world. I mean, they've made this mistake. It's not a time, Paul says, to cross them off and to eliminate them from our lives. It is time to restore such a one. That, my friend, is what Paul meant specifically about bearing one another's burdens. Now notice he put that little thing in there. He said, considering your own self, lest you also be to. He said, you need to be careful to restore others, because there's going to come a time, no doubt, that you're going to need that. You're going to need that understanding, benefit of the doubt, spiritual help. Amen. You know, I hear it right now. Well, you know, I've served God all these years. I'm not going to mess up. I'm not going to fall off the way. I'm not going to fall into sin. And what I hear in response is, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And that's what Paul's saying. So bearing one another is helping those in those situations. You know, someone was sharing with me, and I may be getting two stories mixed in one, but someone was sharing with me this morning how a young lady that used to go to church with her got away from church, quit serving God, went out and got in a relationship with a young man she shouldn't get in a relationship with, became right now expectant out of wedlock. And she said, when I heard that, I traced her down and found out she was in the hospital. She said, I told her we'd be praying for her. And I gave her the church's website and told her how she could stream the messages. And I told her I was going to have my pastor pray for her. And I just want to see her back in church. And I tell you what, that's what Paul was talking about. You know, sometimes some people mess up. They may need a place to stay. They may need some understanding. They may need somebody even to help them out, even financially, when they got themselves in that mess as a consequence of their sinful choice. That's the burden bearing. So how do we bear burdens of folks in those situations? Before I tell you specifically, let me tell you what Paul's overarching qualification, that's not a good word, overarching requirement for bearing one another's burdens. He said, with meekness. You know, there's a lot of ways to interpret the word meekness, but basically it means with gentleness, to be gentle. You see, if the idea is to restore, which brings to mind a doctor trying to mend the body, heal the body, that takes gentleness. You don't heal things by treating them roughly. You heal things by treating them gently. And so, overarching everything, there's the word, overarching everything and bearing one another's burdens, is that we have a spirit of meekness, a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of kindness. Very simply tonight, and we're done. How do we help them bear the burdens? First of all, we help them get back up. They've fallen off the way. They're not where they could be or should be in serving God, walking with God, but they're in the ditch. If for some reason, I'm not going to preach that, but some reason, the whole time I'm preaching this, I'm thinking of that man that went and fell among thieves and the Good Samaritan came after him. I keep thinking about it. I mean, he was, you know, the first thing, you have to get them up from the place that they're fallen. And let me tell you something about this, and this is where that spirit of meekness comes in. Sometimes when people fall off the road into the ditch, we stand up here and yell at them and reach down, and if we can get a hold of them, we'll just yank them up. Because it's a little more difficult to get down there with them. But I'm going to tell you, the only real way to help people up when they're falling is, I'm not talking about entering their sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting near enough to them, close enough to them, getting where they're at to help them get up. Haven't we been singing about that all night? When he reached down his hand for me, he didn't come and yank us up from heaven. He came down. Jesus came in the flesh, lived where we lived, got involved so he could lift us up. And so the first thing is help them get back up. Now, sometimes that takes some honesty. Sometimes you have just to be honest with them. Don't lie to them. Amen. You know, physically, they've fallen, they've broken their leg. Don't say, now we're going to get you up. You're going to be fine. You're okay. Just start walking. No, you just got to be honest. Your leg is broken. We have to put a splint on that. And sometimes folks have to be told with meekness, you have sinned. You have done wrong. You did violate God's word. You did go against his scripture. But that's not a criticism. That's part of identifying the problem, getting them to confess what's happening so their injuries can be healed. Get them back up. Secondly, not only help them get back up, but help them to get back on the right road. if they sinned, they made some wrong choices. They made a wrong turn. Castigating them for that's not going to help them. But get them back on the right road. Get them back into church. Get them back into worship. Get them back into serving God. Get them back into the Word of God. And then it's to help them to get back going. I've known people, if they messed up, they don't want to come to church. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to be in the fellowship. It's just hard to get back going. They want to serve God. They want to be right with God. But it's hard to get them back going. And the way you get them back going is you walk beside them. You stick with them. The phone call every day. The text. Sitting with them in church. Checking on them. That's the way you get them going, is to walk with them. And I know this is very simple, and so much to be said, I'm not going to take the time to say it, but get them back up. Get them back on the right road. That's the restore part. He said restore such a one and keep them, or get them back going. Amen. Now I want you to think about something. We're just about done. But this one another, this is our bear ye one another's burdens. From what I preach tonight, think about how many of the other one another's are involved in this. To bear one another's burdens in the sense that Paul meant, we admonish one another, we pray for one another, we confess our faults one to another, we comfort one another, we exhort one another. I know I'm missing some. We love one another, right? Look at all the one another's that are involved and bear ye one another's burdens. Tremendously. Let me switch just for a moment. And let me say this, if you have a burden, you must let other folks help you carry it. People can be willing to help you, but you must let them, or you're never going to get out of that mess. Let people help you. You know, you don't need to look at anyone's direction, but some folks are in real trouble. But they'll bat away people's hands that try to help them up. They refuse to let folks help them carry their burden. As I wrote that thought down this afternoon back in the Osho Church years ago, Elder Brother Rogers, he'd get up every once in a while and he would sing a song, "If you'd move over just a little bit, I'd help you carry your load." And I want to tell you, sometimes if you're in the place where the weight has taken you down, there are folks that would help you carry it. But you got to be willing to move over a little bit and let them help you bear it. Amen. You know, another thing I made up with my kids, but so true. How many knows it's really hard to hug a porcupine? I've seen that in church. Folks wanting to help folks, be a friend to them, be an encouragement to them. But every time they try to hug that person, they get full of quills. If you got a burden, and there's someone that really wants to help you, and they have that spirit of meekness, let them help you. That's God's way of doing things. Hallelujah. And we quote, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And that's true. But you know how will you cast some of your care upon Jesus? You let folks help you carry your burden. That's one way you cast your care upon Jesus. Last of all tonight, who should do this burden bearing? I want to make clear tonight that this isn't just for preachers or Sunday school teachers. This is for everyone. Everyone that's born again. Everyone that has a work of grace in your heart. You are a potential burden bearer. You know, here's the thing, and I'm not trying to renege or get out of any responsibility, but preachers, pastors, are more like first responders or ER staff. It's at the moment things got really bad and the thing happened, they come in and minister. But because of the networks of life, even pastors and ER are not like ER staff and like first responders. They're not set up for the long time care. And that's where every saint of God comes in. Let me just give you a quick illustration. And you are so good to do this. But if somebody that I don't know comes in and gets saved, and know there's others that come, you know, I'm there praying for him. Brother Brian's there praying for him. My wife's praying for him. And others come help pray. I talk to him at the altar. But at that point, I've always tried to go to somebody in that demographic of the one that prayed and get the name and the number and say, this one prayed. I'd like to introduce you to him. Could you check on him this afternoon and tonight? You see, that's the burden bearer. That's helping. That's getting them on the path, keeping them on the path. And I just say that, not to renege of any responsibility, but that's God's plan at the church, of the church. It's not just the pastors, you know, they try to carry everybody's burdens. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. It's that the people carry one another's burdens. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's close with this. But before I do, you know, one of the reasons for that is my whatever, not influence, but my connection to folks is a lot smaller than yours. My connection is basically you folks. Most of you have more connections than the pastors will ever have at school, at work, in neighborhoods. Look at all the folks that we can affect and we can help if everyone has purposed to be a burden bearer. Amen. So let's close with this tonight. If I'm reluctant to be a burden bearer, I need to but remember one thing. Jesus bore my burden. If you're reluctant to this idea of bearing one another's burdens, remember this. Jesus bore the cross. You know, the cross will solve a lot of things that get out of whack in our hearts. A return to the cross, it'll solve that. Brother Keith, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He bore it all. That's why I should not be a reluctant burden bearer to help others, because he bore the weight of my sin. Amen. Aren't you glad he was a burden bearer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? In 1999, up on the North Atlantic coast, there was a spate of commercial fishing industry tragedies. And in just a short period of time, there were three ships, fishing ships, that went down: the Cape Fear, the Adriatic, and the Beth D. Bob. And all three of those ships were captained by veteran, excellent captains. Not one of those ships hit anything. No icebergs. Not one of them had any damage to the hull or the ship. But all three of those ships went down with great loss of life. And they had one thing in common. They were overweight. They had too much weight in the cargo. In one case, it might have handled the weight, but they had it wrongly distributed. Too much weight in the cargo. And you know what I have found in life? It's really not the storm that takes people down. It's really not running into that unexpected iceberg. Really what takes Christians down is those burdens, the overweight. And that's what we need to consider in bearing one another's burdens. We might keep somebody from making shipwreck. Amen? Because it's overweight that's taking them down. And we're going to help them bear their burden. Could you stand? Father, thank you for your word through your apostle Paul. Thank you for the encouragement of this service. Lord, may this not be the message just of the evening, but may it be a determination in our heart that we're going to look for opportunities to help bear someone's burden, that they could get up, get on the road, keep going down this road so we can make it to heaven together. Thank you, Lord, that we have this kind of help in one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come and find a place like God's word? Amen. Just take hold of our hearts tonight. Praise the Lord. Maybe God will speak to you in the altar tonight as somebody you can encourage, somebody you can help bear their burden, somebody you can help get back into the church, get back into serving God, living for God. Amen. Maybe God is speaking to you even now through the message. I want to be a burden bearer. And I'll tell you what you're going to find. You'll find when you need it, there'll be someone there for you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, let's let him talk to us tonight. Maybe even in the altars. Even in the altars, you might want to help bear somebody's burden and just make your way to them and pray with them. Say, I just want to pray with you tonight. Just want you to know I'm here. I'm your sister. I'm your brother. Amen. We're going to make it through this together. I'm here to help you. Amen. I'm going to help bear your burden. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bear ye one another's burdens. Oh, restore such a one.
Dream.